Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty.
Nelson Mandela, often quoted, and I have to read this. Sports has the power to change the world. It has the power to inspire, the power to unite people in a way that little else does. It speaks to youth in a language they understand. Sports can create hope where there was once only despair. It is more powerful than governments in breaking down racial barriers. It laughs in the faces of all types of discrimination. Sport is the game of lovers. And we have to love each other right now.
Auburn Athletic Director Alan Green on his Twitter feed on Saturday night talking about the protests across America from this weekend. And we'll talk about that quite a bit on tonight's show. Welcome in. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty with you on this first day of June. And joined once again, second time ever in studio by the great Al Whedon, who is nice enough to come in and hang out with Corey and I for an hour. Al.
What a way to kick off hurricane season by having me on the show.
Yeah, well, that's the entire reason you're on here.
Of course.
You know, I think the next storm is Cristobal. Maybe Mario Cristobal might come down, make an appearance for that. But I did see,
I love it.
You get down to, you go through the Atlantic hurricane season names. Did you know we have a name storm Nana this year?
Like, I saw that.
Like, if we have Hurricane Nana, it's a big one, if we get a Category 5 and it's Hurricane Nana.
No nickname after that. Nana anymore if it's that bad.
No, that would be scary. I don't want Nana bearing down on the Gulf Coast. But, hurricanes, we could talk about that in the morning with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. And we have a lot to discuss on tonight's show. Coming up, we'll talk with Gulf Sports Net's Doug Holton in just about 15 minutes to discuss the life and legacy of former Auburn head coach Pat Dye, who passed away today at 80 years old. Doug hosts Tiger Talk Overtime during the football season right here on FM Talk 106.5, and he also interviewed Coach Dye last year. So we'll get Doug's take on the life and legacy of Coach Pat Dye. Of course, Dye, who passed away today, you know, he's been sick for a while now, was actually at East Alabama Medical Center in Opelika for some kidney complications, and then tested positive for COVID-19 while he was in the hospital around 2 weeks ago. According to 24/7 Sports, Dye was moved to the Bethany House in Auburn. And earlier this morning, he was able to listen to phone calls from some of his family, his friends, and former players. They'll be announcing the details on a memorial service for the coach in the coming days. But Dye, born in Blythe, Georgia, played college football for the Georgia Bulldogs before started his coaching career at Alabama under head coach Bear Bryant. I think we've all seen that image of the two sitting together for dinner or lunch or whatever they were sitting for after a day hunting together, I think. But after he took over as the Auburn head coach in 1981, Dye led the Tigers to 4 SEC championships. He was named the SEC Coach of the Year 3 times in his 99 wins, ranks 3rd in program history, inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2005, and passed away today at the age of 80. So we'll talk more about Dye's life and his importance to Auburn football in the next segment with Doug Holton. Now, obviously, if you've watched the news at all this weekend, you've seen the hundreds of protests and, in many cases, riots that popped up across the country after the death of a 48-year-old black man in Minneapolis named George Floyd. I think most of us at this point have seen that gruesome video that shows the white police officer kneeling on Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes as he pleads for his life before losing consciousness. And, you know, being on the morning show here, popping in on the midday show, I've already given my take a couple times on the subject. I don't think there's any excuse at all for the officer to use the amount of force that he did for as long as he did in that video, and no excuses for the 3 officers that at first were helping their fellow officer and then stood by as Floyd struggled for his life. So I've kind of given my take on this over the last couple days. And, you know, we rarely have reason to bring up the color of our skin on this show. But, to make everything clear, I'm a white man here. Corey, my friend, co-host here, a black man, Al Whedon, a black man sitting across from me right now. And with everything that's going on, and it's one thing for me to come on and say how I feel about what's going on. I wanted to talk with you guys and see what your take is on, first with the arrest of George Floyd that went the way it did, that so many of us saw in the video, but also the protests that we've been seeing over these last few days.
Well, it's you and Corey's show, and Corey's yielding to me with his hand over there. It's an absolute outrage to me personally, Dalton, the way I look at the video, and that a death had to occur out of that, that a person had a knee placed on their neck for over 8 minutes and caused them to die. To me, it's also an outrage that people's businesses are being burned and torn down in outrage of the death. I'm a big believer of faith without works doesn't exist. So I understand people are upset. I understand people want to vent. I think that there is a peaceful way to do that. There's also a smart way to do it as well. By hurting someone else's business, at the end of the day, that does not bring George Floyd back. At the end of the day, that does not guarantee another person's right to vote for someone, to put someone in office, to make a change, because law is what really makes things happen. Putting people in position is what makes things happen. Speak truth to power. Don't sit there and tear down someone else's hard earned right. And the sad part I don't like about it, and I'm not going to stay on this tangent too long, the person's business you're tearing down may actually have the same viewpoints you do.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no idea because you're so emotionally involved rather than thinking about the situation. I'm all about protesting peacefully. I'm all about civil disobedience if that's the case. But at this point, it's not really we're up against a law that's against us. We're just outraged that the man lost his life and they didn't charge the guy with first-degree murder rather than third-degree or in the manslaughter charge. So let your frustrations out, but focus them in the right way. At the end of the day, a young man took his knee a couple years ago who was a professional football player in the exact response to this. What has changed since then, Dalton?
Yeah, great
what
question.
Now another person has died, and guess what? The guy's still not playing football. He took a knee. Sure, I'll say it. The NFL was in bid with the armed services about the Star Spangled Banner, this, that, and the other. Man, I call broadcasting games all the time. If we play the anthem or don't, we're still going to play the game.
Yeah, and that's
why we're still gonna play the game, right?
That's amen. That's right, and I think that's why a lot of people felt that Goodell's statement and the NFL's statement kind of rang hollow from
right.
this weekend.
Really. So when you get down to it, even here in my own city in Mobile, Alabama, I want people to protest, Corey. I want people to say that's not right. At the end of the day, I want you to go register to vote, and I want you to vote, not sit at home in November and then in 2021 when we have municipal elections in this city. That's the problem I have. When it's time to really make your voice heard, you over there on Facebook.
Yeah, I think
I'm done, dude.
What we're seeing, I love it. I love it. I think what we're seeing a lot of also, I think we've got, you know, professional anarchists doing a lot of this breaking in too. And there's a lot of young kids out there that are protesting and maybe no other way. And it's not right. It's certainly not right. But I think that you're seeing a mix of people who are coming in to cause trouble. And we've seen a lot of, you know, a lot of skinny white kids that are out there that are breaking into buildings and stuff like that. And in a way, some hijacking this protest for their own cause.
Yeah.
And that's not the case all the way through. It's not 100%. Nothing's 100%.
Lastly, I'll say this.
In this world.
Every protest is not a looter, and every looter is not a protester.
That's right. There were thousands of peaceful protests
Absolutely.
Yesterday, and quite a few got way too out of hand on top of that. Corey, any take on this?
Oh, almost definitely. I mean, in my situation, Dalton, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, and I'm happy to share it because it gives me a very, very diverse perspective on
right.
this particular issue. My mom and dad are both white. I was adopted. So growing up in a white household, You see the agape, you see the love, okay? You don't see color. You know, I've been blessed to be accepted for who I am my entire life, for who I am. And I think that is what is so tragic in this George Floyd situation, that the police officers on the scene didn't take him for who he was, which is a human being. To be treated the way that he was and murdered right there on the scene is uncalled for. It's just beyond reprehensible, and it should not occur. The problem is that, again, Al touched on it, to where when you have outside factors, and including people in the media, because this show is called Sports Night. And what happens is sports unites us all, because I love going to Bryant-Denny Stadium. You go into Neyland Stadium, where there are over 100,000 people of all different backgrounds and cultures yelling and cheering for their team together. And that's the great thing about sports. But when an athlete takes their platform and is told to shut up and dribble, okay, shut up and dribble, you know, that kind of thing becomes blown up. Now, when you see why LeBron James and people such as Colin Kaepernick, when they do have peaceful protest or they do things and say things and speak their mind as a human being, when you see that we're not all treated as human beings, that's when it becomes a hurt issue. And there's no doubt about it. Patrick Mahomes said it great today in his tweet. You know, we need grace and forgiveness even amidst the pain, because, again, having the Christian principles I have, you know, it's up for only God can judge me at the end of the day. And that murder should not have occurred. Police brutality should not occur. You know, you should be able to protect and to serve, but it's not the first time. And I think that's the thing that has gotten and really blown this up, because it's not the first time, Dalton. Mm-hmm. And again, now that it's really taken the nation by storm, not just where the murder occurred, but across the globe. It's a pandemic in and of itself. I mean, people, anytime COVID-19 is not talked about on the national news until 5 minutes left in the news, you know that this has become global, Dalton. But again, sports being the ultimate melting pot, that's what it's going to take. That's why people want to see sports back so bad, because they know that that's the ultimate healer, and it brings people, it finds a way to let everyone understand one another. And I think this example will help our country come together and understand one another better.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And that's, you know, sports bringing people together. I think all three of us grew up playing sports through our youth years, and I don't know how fortunate you guys were. I did not and was not good enough to play any college ball, but obviously I've continued to follow sports and have made tons and tons of friendships, people of all colors,
correct,
just because of my love of sport. That's why I wanted to play that quote from Nelson Mandela that the Auburn athletic director Alan Green had on his Twitter feed on Saturday. And Alan Green, you know, he's one of many leaders in sports that have spoken out this weekend. And I want to play one more clip from his Twitter video the other night, where he was talking about listening to your neighbor. I thought this was great. And the and Alan Green, by the way, one of only two, I think, black athletic directors in the SEC.
Yep, that's right.
And there aren't many more across the entire nation. And he's the first in Auburn history, first black person to serve as the athletic director in Auburn history. So I think his words carry a heck of a lot of weight on their own. But he did a great job on Saturday. Here's another quote from Alan Green in that video.
In these moments, we find ourselves in today provide a unique and extraordinary opportunity, even in times in a health pandemic, a financial crisis, and civil unrest, we must continue to guide our young people to help them be leaders of tomorrow. You know what? We even need them to be leaders of today. And I started thinking about, you don't need to shout to be heard, but if others aren't listening, then frustration will certainly ensue. And so my simple advice is, listen to your neighbor. Take the opportunity to hear somebody out. Just listen. Care enough to engage with others who aren't like you, who may have a different perspective on life, who may see the world through a different lens, and be okay knowing that there are differences. We have to welcome them. And I know certain conversations are uncomfortable, but this discomfort allows us to grow through acknowledgement and empathy.
And the Auburn head coach, Gus Malzahn, echoed his athletic director's sentiments after that video. He also had head coach Nick Saban for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He and the school and the athletic director, Greg Byrne, each put out their own statements. Also said their hearts were heavy for those who have suffered from racism and bigotry. And Saban added to his announcement there. He said, "We're at an important moment for our country. Now is the time to choose kindness, tolerance, understanding, empathy, and most importantly, it's time to love each other. Every life is precious, and we must understand we have so many more things that unite us than divide us. And I was going to play a quote from Nick Saban in the Larsh football preview from Thursday night. We're running out of time. We got to talk with Doug Holton coming up here in this next segment. But that's kind of what's going on around the SEC and around the rest of the country as athletic directors and coaches weigh in on this ever-important topic.
Just one thing Dalton wants to
record. Yeah, go ahead, Al. What's
just
up?
Just think about it. 4 months ago, the city of Mobile could have almost been in this situation. Just think back what happened in February with the law enforcement officer and a citizen here. Just 4 months ago.
Well said. Well said. Coming back, talking with Doug Holton about the passing of legendary Auburn coach Pat Dye. And oh yeah, guys, there were live sports again this weekend. We'll talk some about the NASCAR race from Bristol yesterday afternoon and the UFC fight night from Saturday night. Bad news for a local MMA fighter who had a rough one on Saturday. Coming back, we'll talk with Doug Holton next on Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5.
Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
Hey, listen, man. Tonight's what our program's all about. I want you to think about it and let it sink in deep. This is the reason we work in the summertime in January and February and the spring. This is the reason we push you beyond what you think you can do to experience moments like this. Ain't no easy way in life. It wasn't easy out there tonight, but you were prepared for the task at hand. Every one of you players, I mean, ain't no way. I ain't smart enough to tell you how I feel about you. I mean, because it's family, every one of you. I mean, you know it. Every one of you know it. And these coaches that are working with you every day, you're family to them too. You're going to carry some of them with you as long as you live. As long as you live, you're going to have a little part of them inside of you. And you're going to have a lot of this program in you. And you sunk some deep roots in the ground here tonight, man.
A little bit of former Auburn coach Pat Dye's speech after the 1989 Iron Bowl, when number 11-ranked Auburn beat number 2-ranked Alabama 30-20. 1989 Iron Bowl in Auburn, Auburn's fourth win in a row over Bama, and the first time that the game was played outside of Birmingham since 1901 that year. Tigers went on to finish the year 10-2 and ranked sixth in the nation after they beat Ohio State in the Hall of Fame Bowl in Tampa. And I thought today, with this, the tragic news of the passing of Coach Dye, what better person to get on the air tonight than Doug Holton with Gulf Sports Net, and of course the host of Tiger Talk Overtime during football season right here on FM Talk 106.5. Doug, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight.
Thanks, Dalton. Great to be with you guys.
Yeah, and I know you've got some words to say. You interviewed Coach Pat Dye last year on Tiger Talk Overtime. What are your thoughts on the passing of Coach Dye today?
Well, just listening to that locker room talk, just brings back so many memories. We've heard that one so many times, but all of those locker room talks and the speeches by Pat Dye, and he's talking about the impact that the assistant coaches had on the players, but what an impact he had on their lives. Just talking to some of the guys today, like David King, who played at Fairhope, wasn't a high five-star type guy coming out of high school, but that's the kind of guy that Pat Dye recruited to Auburn, at least in the beginning. And Coach Dye was so much to them. Quentin Riggins talked about how he loved Coach Dye today, and what an impact, what a legend he is, the greatest football coach in Auburn history. He led Auburn to the greatest decade in Auburn football history. Brought the Alabama game, as you mentioned, to Jordan-Hare Stadium. He revived Auburn football. I don't know if people that are younger than us realize, but before Coach Dye arrived at Auburn in 1981, Auburn football was kind of in a dry spell, and they were searching for a new coach after the Shug Jordan era, and Pat Dye happened to be the guy. He was the third pick, I think, for the Auburn Board of Trustees. A lot of people thought it was going to go to Vince Dooley, but it turned out to be you know, a tough guy named Pat Dye who coached a little East Carolina team that used to go in and beat North Carolina and Duke and NC State when I was growing up. And then he went to Alabama, of course, and coached for Coach Bryant. And I read something interesting today about Coach Dye. I was listening to him talk in one of his interviews, and he said when he got to Auburn and got the job, he sat down and he read the Auburn Creed. And he looked at the creed and he said, "This is amazing. I believe this is what I believe in. This is the things that I believe in." And he said that his favorite line in the creed was, "A spirit that is not afraid." Because if you're afraid, you can't accomplish anything. And guys, I think that kind of characterizes Coach Dye's years at Auburn in the 1980s. He gave Auburn that aura where they could go in and they could play against anybody. They didn't fear anybody. Coach Dye talked about when he was at Georgia, he remembered Auburn putting that fear into their team, into Georgia's team, and he brought that back to Auburn. That's what he gave Auburn. And it was the most amazing run. I don't think there's really any argument in Auburn football history.
I agree with you, Doug. I mean, anytime you take a job like Auburn, and for the media to ask them, you know, how long would it take them to beat Alabama after Alabama and Bear Bryant had dominated the football scene? I mean, quick wits by Pat Dye, a classic quote, 60 minutes. That was his answer, and that sums it up. I mean, anytime you have an opportunity to beat Alabama in your second year as head coach, like I heard earlier today, it didn't take him 60 minutes. It took him 120, but it was something that he believed in. And anytime you can beat Alabama from 1986 to 1989, four consecutive years, you're going to make Auburn history, and that's exactly why we're looking at today it being called Pat Dye Field.
Exactly right, Corey. And, you know, those in 1982, when Bo went over the top, as you mentioned, the first win for Auburn in 9 years, and then 83, they win again when Bo rushes for 256 yards in a tornado watch, I think, at Legion Field. And then, as I wrote on my website a few days ago, the 1984 game, you know, if that one happens to go the other way on the goal line, and then if Van Tiffin misses the 52-yarder in 85, who knows, Auburn could have won 8 in a row and maybe done something like Alabama did in the 1970s and early 80s. So, yeah, it was quite a run. And people don't realize that Auburn, as I mentioned before, in 1980, was 0-6 in the SEC under Doug Barfield. And then when Pat came in 1981, 2-4, the next year, 4-2, with, you know, guys, I just think of guys like David King that I mentioned before, and Bob Harris and Danny Skutek. In 1981, they went out to play in Nebraska and played the Cornhuskers in a pretty close game until the fourth quarter. That team kind of set the tone of toughness under the Dye era. And they went on to, as I mentioned, 1982, 4-2 with Bo over the top. And in 1983, it was a pretty quick turnaround, as you mentioned, Corey, 6-0 in 1983. They beat Georgia in Athens, and they were SEC champions for the first time in quite a while. And I remember Keith Jackson pretty vividly on ABC saying there's going to be a party at Toomer's Corner tonight, and there was.
Four SEC championships, three-time SEC Coach of the Year, of course, was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2005. And, you know, Doug, we've mentioned Coach Dye's wit, always good for a quote, and of course that made him a natural fit for broadcasting, and he stuck around with the Auburn program until his death after his coaching years were over, and hosted the Pat Dye Show up until his health got to such a critical point here over these last few weeks. I just want to know, I know you interviewed Coach Dye last year, and what was that like talking to him? What was he like in conversation? What did you gain from that interview?
Well, I think what most people gain from an interview or a talk with Coach Pat Dye, you just kind of sit back and listen. Mm. Because he was one of those guys. I can remember when I was in school when Coach Dye came to Auburn, and I was working for the university radio station, and you would go to the press conference, which was at the old Sewell Hall, which is where the the big dorm is now across the street from the football building. But, you know, it was a different time then, and the coaches weren't quite as uptight. And, you know, you would hear old stories about, you know, Pat Dye would be on the phone with Johnny Major during the press conference and just telling stories and cracking jokes with each other. Certainly a different time. But, yeah, Pat Dye was a storyteller. He grew up, you know, doing that, I think, with his dad and his brothers. And then later with Coach Bryan at Alabama, I think he certainly took a lot from Coach Bryan and modeled himself after some things that Coach Bryan did. But I had the best chance I had to talk with Coach Dye after he retired. We went to stay with him at his farm in Notasauga, outside mm-hmm. of Auburn, where he lived the last few years. And before we left, the last day before we left, I had a chance to kind of get one-on-one with him. And I told him that whatever success we were having at Auburn now, I felt like we were standing on his shoulders. And I just wanted to thank him for that and thank him for the years at Auburn. And that's something I'll always remember. And I think that's the way the Auburn fans feel today. You know, the competitive teams that Auburn has now and the runs at championships and SEC championships, it has a lot to do with Pat Dye, and it will for a long, long time.
Yeah, some great condolences pouring out on Twitter today from some fellow coaches and some players that played under Coach Pat Dye. Doug, thank you so much for joining us tonight and letting us know a little bit more about the life and legacy of this coach who we all know the name, and now we know a little bit more about him. We appreciate you coming on Sports Night tonight, and we will have to get you on here soon. As soon as we find out what this year's college football season will look like, talk a little bit more about these 2020 Auburn Tigers.
Absolutely. I'll leave you with a little quote from his book, In the Arena, when he talked about Auburn football. Pat Dye: play defense, run the football, knock the hell out of folks. That was Pat Dye.
Great stuff. Thank you, Doug.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Doug Holton, you can follow him on Twitter at GulfSportsNet. And, of course, listen to him in the fall, Tiger Talk Overtime, right here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming back, we'll talk about where we stand right now as far as the different leagues and coming back to play from the coronavirus pandemic. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty, and Al Whedon join us tonight. Thank you to Doug Holton for talking with us about life and legacy of Coach Pat Dye. And believe it or not, guys, we did have some live sports on this weekend. Not the full buffet of live sports that we're used to this time of year, but NASCAR's been back for about 15 days now, and they've ran, I think, 55 races in those 15. Okay, only 5 races in 15 days. But they raced last night, and a pretty good race at Bristol. Brad Keselowski ends up taking the lead with a lap remaining, and he wins for the second time in the last week after he won the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday night. He took the lead last night, actually, when race leaders Joey Logano and Chase Elliott wrecked while battling for first place. Here's what that sounded like on Fox Sports 1. Well, not that one. All right, there we go.
Touch. Little bump and run there from Chase Elliott. They're up and in the wall. Here comes Keselowski.
Wow.
And Kyle Busch. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Chase just sent it in there, got loose, took them both out.
So Keselowski ends up holding on for the victory. First driver to win multiple races since NASCAR's Cup Series came back. Logano, though, finished 21st after that wreck, and Elliott 22nd. They had a little back and forth after the race. I love it, whether it's hockey. I mean, any sport, when you get the players, or in this case, racers going after each other, it just elevates the passion out there on the track in this case, but on the ice or court.
Chase
in other
won
cases.
Thursday, didn't he?
Chase Elliott.
Chase
yes,
won Thursday.
He did
sure
get
did.
The win, and it was looking like he might be in place to get another win on Sunday afternoon yesterday, but that was not in the cards for him. Clint Bowyer finished second, his best finish in a year. Jimmy Johnson, who has not won in a very long time, the seven-time NASCAR champ. He finished third, followed by Kyle Busch, who I might have had a couple dollars on last night. And Eric Jones finished fifth. And then we've got an Xfinity Series race at Bristol tonight, the Cheddar's 300. I don't know if the winner gets a big burger or not, but Cheddar's 300 tonight. And then the Cup Series heads to Atlanta for a race on Sunday. And then a sport that I love to follow, and even more so now that we've got a local guy that's been fighting in the UFC.
Yeah.
But there was another UFC event on Saturday night, this time in Las Vegas at the UFC Apex. The main event was a welterweight fight. Gilbert Burns ends up dominating a former champ in Tyron Woodley and wins by unanimous decision. Almost finished Woodley in the opening minutes and then never let his foot off the gas pedal, won every single round. And ESPN, this was a pretty big match. Woodley was ranked fifth among their welterweights coming in, Burns ninth. So Woodley will drop down in those rankings after once being a champ. But the fight that I was paying attention to on Saturday, and I'm sure thousands of people in this area, on the main card, Brock Weaver from McIntosh, Alabama. He stepped into the cage for his second fight with the organization and ended up having a pretty tough night, thoroughly dominated by Roosevelt Roberts in that lightweight fight before Roberts ended the match with a rear naked choke in the second round. If you haven't been following Weaver's road to the UFC, he earned a shot in the UFC Contender Series. He got a decision victory. Dana White invited him to the big show, and his first fight was delayed for a while. He finally got in the ring in February and was basically knocked out by an illegal knee in the first round then. So he got the win, but only because the other guy was disqualified. And then talk about tough circumstances. Found out that he was going to be fighting this past Saturday night, about a week and a half before the event. He ended up being the only fighter to miss weight by a pound and a half. I think he said he was walking around 185 leading in. So you're talking about having to lose a good 30 pounds there to get in range for what he needed to. Came a pound and a half short, and then of course had a tough night on Saturday night. So Brock Weaver, I'm not sure how many more chances. You don't get a lot of chances in the UFC these days. If you're not winning, they're usually pretty quick to get you the boot. I'm hoping, and I'm sure a lot of other Alabamians hoping, that Brock gets another chance with the big show. Did you guys have a chance to check out that fight at all Saturday?
Absolutely. I was tuned in, checking out Brock Weaver representing McIntosh Highway 43. And you could kind of sense he was kind of literally out of his class because he had to drop the weight to make it. But the other guy, my wife was saying, God, that guy's so tall and skinny. But he's got the skills on Brock, unfortunately. It showed up in the second round.
Yeah, the guy he fought, Roosevelt Roberts, looks like a problem for a lot of people in that division. Yeah. The reach, too much for Weaver. If you watched that straight right from Roberts on Saturday night, was absolutely eating Weaver up, and he wasn't able to get out with the victory. Like I said, hopefully we'll get to see Weaver fight again, and hopefully soon we'll get some of these bigger sports going.
Well, hey, you missed it yesterday. I thought you were talking about the match over at Spring Hill. I was out there with my buddies, and we were playing for a cause benefiting none really.
Oh, no causes. Okay.
It was COVID free. I thought you were talking about that. But you're talking about Brock and the other stuff.
I know you drained one from about 170 out, just like Brady did the other day.
I was many times. I was about maybe 120 yards out, and it took me about 8 strokes to finish the hole. So that happened a few times. But we had a great time. Beautiful day yesterday over Spring Hill College.
Well, we will see the PGA Tour back here soon, June 11th. They're going to be hitting the course again in Fort Worth, Texas. Of course, I loved both of the charity events that they put on, the Brady Manning with Mickelson and Woods, and then the week before where you had the four pros, Ricky Fowler, Matthew Wolf, Dustin Johnson, and Rory McIlroy. I love it. Anything live we can get, and that's why Major League Baseball making some big news, and not necessarily for the right reasons, it seems here. A lot of people on the case of the players and the owners as they bicker. I guess is bicker a good word to use here?
Yes,
they go back and forth about
idiocy.
Yeah, how they're going to pay the players for this season and how many games they'll play. So last week, the owners come out with a proposal. And this actually began in March when no one had any idea what the landscape would look like this time of the year in regards to coronavirus. And back in March, the owners and players agreed to a prorated salary for the players, but that was on the condition that fans were in the stands.
Correct.
And players would be able to travel and play basically your average Major League Baseball season. Obviously, that's not going to happen. There will not be fans in the stands, at least for the first part of their schedule, whenever they're finally able to get started. So the owners come back last week. They said, you know, what we said about the prorated salaries, you can go ahead and forget that. We're going to cut some off of the salaries. The most highest paid veteran players, you're going to take the biggest cuts. Some of you young guys, you're also going to get your pay cut, but not to the extremes that we're cutting the Mike Trouts of the world. And the players said they weren't having that, not at all. They said, we agreed to prorated salaries. So they countered back yesterday And also, the owner's proposal initially was for an 82-game regular season that got started at the very beginning of July. You only play within your divisions and then the corresponding division in the other league. So AL West would play NL West, right, and then teams within the AL West. 82 games. Players came back and said, okay, we'll agree to this salary thing, but we want to play 114 games, get more games in, more salary for each of the games they play. And the owner's now coming back and saying, okay, we'll pay you a prorated salary, but we're only going to play 50 games, which 162-game season, 50 games, I think that works out to about 30% of their salary. Yeah. Don't think the players are going to be happy about this. I think we continue to see this drag on. I don't, and you guys might have another opinion, I don't see how they're going to get baseball started. You got to have at least 3 weeks of spring training. They're not going to have the season started by July 4th. No way.
I don't see that happening either, Dalton. And I mean, you've already seen the 2020 minor league baseball season essentially being canceled.
Pretty much crap, yeah.
And, you know, you have the Pensacola Blue Wahoos are smart enough to try to go ahead and find financing, and you're not getting anything out of an empty stadium.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's the timing being correct. If you look at the Bay Bears leaving Mobile, okay, so imagine the loss of revenue if Mobile, Alabama still had the Bay Bears. They definitely wouldn't see 2021 if that would have been the case, right, if there would have been a 2020 minor league baseball season. So now that's the Trash Pandas problem.
That's their issue, yeah,
in Huntsville. But it yet and still, you're looking at these minor league baseball players to where they don't even really want to pay them their $400 a week stipend.
Right.
And that's tough. We're like talking about minor league.
Yeah, I like how David Price stepped up, and he's going to pay for some of the guys in his organization. He's going to pay like $1,000 to help them out. But what I see in this, Corey, is the irony of social distancing. The one sport that has the greatest amount of room of social distance can't come to the plate, where the other sports that do not adhere to social distancing, hockey, football, and basketball, are almost near the point of starting.
Yep.
And baseball, where if I'm in right field and you're in left field and you're home plate, you know, we ain't really touching each other. We can't come to the table. It's the most weirdest thing I've ever seen, dude.
Yeah, and in fairness, you know,
so weird.
At least the NBA and NHL got most of their season out of the way. They just had a few regular season games left.
Yeah.
They're going to get started in the playoffs. The NFL is still operating like they're going to play a full 17-week season,
yep,
head into the playoffs, and then play the Super Bowl. What you're looking at with baseball, and I know the players, they proposed a 114-game season to start in July, said the regular season would wrap up around October 31st. We've all seen those playoff series where they're
on
in the snow.
Right.
They've
right,
got the long. Imagine a playoff in New York, in the Bronx.
Come on, dog. Come on.
Early December. Baseball players, I mean, I'm sure they'll show up and play, but those conditions are not ripe for a good baseball game. That's why even the seasons are working against baseball at this point.
I mean, new definition of winter meetings, which is normally all that you talk about at that time of year for Major League Baseball. But, I mean, hockey, you know, talking about going with the playoff format, I think that they probably will get some sort of finish to their season in. We mentioned last week on the show about the NBA possibly moving to Orlando and playing their games at Disney World. So you're going to see the resumption of sports at some point in time.
Right.
Professionally, it's just a matter of how many games you will see and what type of format we will witness.
Yeah, in the NBA, Adam Silver, he said that the league office, they're going to have the Board of Governors on July 30. He said July 31st is their target date to resume play. Like you said, Wide World of Sports down in Orlando, they're going to try to get all their games in there. I don't think they're going to invite the entire league back, but they are going to have some of the teams that were within somewhat of a striking distance of a playoff spot. New Orleans will actually get a chance to play their way in.
Yeah, will the Pelicans get in? Yeah.
And so they're going to have what looks like some of a regular season before they head into tournament play. The NHL, like you said, they're going to head right into the playoffs with the change that nearly every team is in the playoffs this time.
I kind of wish the NBA would scrap the standings and just do a top 1 through 18 or 1 through 16. Doesn't matter the conference affiliation. Just get the top best 16 or 18 and just go for it.
Yeah.
I would love to see that, man.
You get some of these top teams. You get the Clippers or the Lakers in there against some of the worst teams in the Western Conference. Not much of a series there, but at least they'll be getting their legs up and under them. And I'll take any basketball game at this point. I would watch is the South Korean League, or I think the Chinese League came back and then went back into hiding. But not many live sports to check out now except for NASCAR, UFC, a couple other things. But we're close. Was a former close.
Former MVP for the downtown Y. I can tell you, I miss it too.
Hey, you were always socially distant, right?
Hey, Brent, always.
You're too
always.
Fast.
I mean, hey.
Too fast. All right, Tintel, we'll come back and wrap up Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. Mike Tyson back in the ring. Please say it ain't so. No, really, say it ain't so. Coming back, Sports Night on the way.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106. You
ain't got Corey, I think we've got to change some of our intros now. Two-time nominated Nappy Award nominees. Can't put winner out next to it yet, but you know what? We have been nominated 2 years in a row.
That's right. Thank you, everybody, that listens each and every week to Sports Night, and just encourage you to vote, as you will see it actually coming out this week in the latest edition of the Lanyap.
Yeah, we're up against some scrub named Paul Feinbaum for Best Sports Show. I don't know about you, but I hate everything about that show.
Well, I find it an honor to be on a two-time award-nominated show.
There we go.
So it's an honor just to be in your guys' presence here.
And you're only upping the conversation. So
yeah, hey.
I think if you'd been on before the nominating process, they would have gone ahead and given us... I mean, I know you were on a while back, but right before, they would have gone ahead and given us the win. Voting opens the 3rd, which, if I'm doing my math correctly, Wednesday, you can start voting. VoteNappies.com. And I wish there was a way to vote for something to not happen that looks like it will happen. But Mike Tyson... I think we've all seen or at least heard about some of the videos coming from Tyson and the Tyson camp here recently. The training videos that show him, I'm not saying that the video was sped up or anything, but hitting pads and looking like the killer that he used to look like, except now Mike Tyson's 53 years old, and he says he wants to box, and I don't think he's saying anything ridiculous like he wants to go 12 rounds in a championship bout. Mm-hmm. He specifically said that he wants to fight in 3 or 4 round exhibitions for charity. But some of the names that have been tossed out there to possibly fight Mike Tyson, at first it was some that I could see. Who was George Foreman even brought up? Or
no.
Holyfield was brought
Holyfield.
Up. Holyfield. And then Tyson Fury's dad, who I'm guessing he named his son after Mike Tyson. Tyson Fury, the current heavyweight champion after he beat our guy Deontay Wilder last time. But so those make sense, all right, fighting a couple other old men if he has to. But then I'm hearing they actually offered the fight to Tyson Fury himself, and then Anthony Joshua, the other heavyweight champion, saying, no, I would not fight Mike Tyson. Everyone would hate me if and when I knocked him out, because we're still talking about current heavyweight champions.
Correct.
I don't care how bad Mike Tyson used to be. At 53 years old, he, unless he gets luckier than anyone's ever gotten, he will not be knocking Tyson Fury out in any kind of event. I hate this because it seems like Tyson has really changed his mental mode since he retired. And I don't think that he used to like... He has said plenty of times that he hated the person he used to be. And we all love how great of a boxer he was, but you can look at his career and tell he was not in the right mental space for years and years and years. And sometimes that's what it takes to be the baddest man on the planet. I do not want to see Tyson get in the ring. I do not want to see him get his bell rung. I'm pretty happy seeing Mike Tyson in Hangover 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever's next.
He was in Uncut Gems recently, too.
Was he?
Yeah,
I still
sure
got
was.
That in the Netflix
you
gotta
queue. You got to see that. You got
to
see
I'm it. Waiting for the one-year-old to go to bed early enough where
please,
I can watch
please
that.
Please do. Oh, it is not for the children.
No, not at all. So your take, Corey, on Mike Tyson wanting to get back in the ring?
I'm glad he's getting back into shape. Just want to see him spar. Don't want to see him participate in a match.
Al, I know you want
to
see Mike.
He
out
needs
there.
To stick to the movies. He is not his father's Oldsmobile. He is not my father's Mike Tyson, brother. That was, and you touched on a good point. You know, I've done a lot in radio over the years, and a lot of people say, if you want to call it inhaling, smoking, taking certain things, can produce such great lyricists over the years.
Yeah.
Kind of what you hit on, what he was going through probably made him one of the greatest boxers. But then you notice when those rappers kind of get off of those certain things, man, dude whack now.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Because he was in a different element when he was recording. Like, when Tyson was really, really there, he was really, really not there, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it like that.
Yeah, and yeah. Speaking of partaking, he's been partaking in another substance, and he's become pretty famous for it over the last few years.
Yeah.
Has his own weed farm, I believe.
Yep.
Maybe that's what has allowed Mike Tyson to reflect on his own career and the person he used to be more, because you compare him to another greatest of all time athlete, Michael Jordan. We just watched this 10-part documentary series. I think that a lot that used to drive Michael Jordan is still there in his brain, and I think he's a lot less happier of a person because of that. I think Mike Tyson, from everything I've seen, has been a happier person in the life he's living over the last 10 years. I don't think he'll turn back into the monster that he used to be. I just don't want to see 53-year-old Mike Tyson, who's now become an uncle to all of us, get back in the ring. Some bad news, some sad news, really, this afternoon from Clemson. And it looks like receiver Justin Ross, he's going to miss this upcoming season. And some doctors saying maybe the rest of his career, he's going to have what they're calling a congenital fusion he has in his spine. So I guess he had what he thought was a stinger in one of their final practices before the coronavirus came through and shut everything down. But now Ross set to fly out to Pittsburgh this week. He's going to go undergo surgery on Friday, and one of the leading neuroscientists is going to put him under the knife. But some scary stuff there when you're talking about neck injuries and coming back. Football, not a great sport when you have a bad neck injury.
Wish him the best. I mean, one of the state of Alabama's greatest high school wide receivers, very athletic, Central Phoenix City's own national champion at that, had a tremendous national championship game. Wish him the best. And as well as Henry Ruggs III, had a little accident moving some furniture, had his thigh pinned up against some of the furniture, had an open incision. Not the best way or the best thing for someone who's training to become an elite rookie wide receiver to happen, so wish him a speedy recovery as well.
Two men on the truck next time, brother.
There you go.
Two men on the truck.
You got money now.
Spend it on the things
that matter. So some tough news for a couple receivers, and I wish we had more time to discuss the news from this last week. Ole Miss and South Alabama, the University of South Alabama, scheduling a home-and-home series, and they wanted to get this one out of the way early, so they're going to play in 2028 and 2029. I love these when they schedule them out 10 years in advance. The question I'll leave you two with, and everyone else out there, will Lane Kiffin be in Mobile, Alabama that year as the coach of the Ole Miss Rebels?
Ooh. If you're a fan, you hope so.
That's a good one. I don't know.
I don't think he will be. I do not think Kiffin will be there for more than, let's go with 5 years.
Well, okay. The sports book's open in Mississippi. I may have to take a drive.
All right, that does it. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Al, thank you so much for coming in with us.
Thank you, guys, man.
Coming up, Sweet Home Canabama with Jennifer Boozer. Have a good one.